You're listening to The Leonard LoPage Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
For many people, cell phones have become indispensable. They are only phones, in fact. They never leave home without them, use them without a second thought, and even let young children make calls on them. But there have been concerns from the start that they may not be as safe as we would like. Epidemiologist Deborah Davis, a visiting professor at Harvard in Georgetown, has written a book on the subject called Disconnect: The Truth About Cell Phone Radiation, What the Industry Has Done to Hide It, and How to Protect Your Family. It's published by Dutton, and I'm very pleased that it brings Dr. Davis back to our show today. Hello.
Nice to see you again.
Start at the beginning. Can you explain simply how cell phones work?
Cell phones basically are small microwave radios that are constantly looking for signals from towers and sending signals from the phone back and forth. They work by sending pulsed information that is converted from your voice back to the tower. They're constantly searching for the tower and constantly looking for signals, whether from your voice or for information coming into the smartphones today.
So even when you're not using them, when they're on, they are working?
That is correct.
And is the key word there microwave?
Well, it is indeed. They are much, much, much weaker than a microwave oven, which uses 1,000 watts or 750 watts of power. They use far less than 1 watt of power. But it's approximately the same signal as a microwave in terms of the waves that they are using.
Now, when microwaves first came into use, people were concerned about their dangers, and we were told that we were shielded from them. And I'm assuming that that's true. I don't know. But how much shield can you put in one of these little plastic devices?
Well, that's a very good question. Microwave ovens are shielded, and you obviously can be sure. Today's modern microwaves can safely be used as long as you stand away from them, and children should not be using microwave ovens for lots of good reasons. But the cell phone is different because a microwave oven, of course, is all contained within a metal box. The cell phone signal, when held directly next to the brain, is, I think, problematic. And I don't think this just by myself. The governments of France, Finland, and Israel have also issued warnings about the safer use of cell phone. In fact, in France, it will soon be illegal to sell a cell phone without an earpiece.
Hmm. Well, what's the difference between the radiation used to treat cancer and the radiation that we see in cell phones?
There are many different types of radiation. Ionizing radiation with X-rays, which can be used to treat tumors, to get rid of them, and very focused in the case of brain cancer. That's a form of radiation that damages and kills cells, and we know that. That's why we use it. And it works very effectively in many instances. The kind of radiation from cell phone is non-ionizing. So it doesn't work by breaking ionic bonds, and we used to think that it was physically impossible for non-ionizing radiation to have any biological effects unless it caused heating. Now we know that that's not true.
Is it simply a matter of putting the phone next to your skull, which means that it's close to your brain, that's causing all this concern?
That's one part of the concern. It's also of concern that the cell phone being held in the lower abdomen can be a problem.
To your lower abdomen. In other words, if I put my cell phone in my pocket, my trouser pocket, I'm causing myself trouble. I often keep it in my shirt pocket. Now I'm starting to fear for my heart as well. Forget about what's near my trouser pockets. I'm sorry. You need a drink of water there? Okay. This is the kind of subject we all get choked up about.
Thank you. You're very kind. In fact, the new BlackBerry Torch comes with a warning that if you put the cell phone on and in your pocket, you may exceed the FCC guidelines of exposure. There are studies done.
Wait, is that on the box?
No. No. It's only after you buy the phone in 6-point type that the warning can be read if you bother to read it. We've now posted it on our website, Environmental Health Trust. .org. You can see all the warnings that come with phones after you've purchased them.
Well, 6-point type is very small, but when I worked in advertising, we used to call it mice type. So that's the type that they use when they have to put a warning in, but they don't really want you to look at it.
Well, you're the expert on that. I would just say that very few people read it, very few people know about it, and that's why I've written the book, Disconnect.
Well, our bodies are mostly water, aren't they?
Indeed, our bodies are mostly water.
So how does that work with this radiation?
Well, the dielectric constant of the air is 1. The dielectric constant of your brain might be 60. The dielectric constant of a child's brain, I'm sorry, would be maybe 80. So a dielectric constant is what will attract the electromagnetic fields, the radio frequency signals, into it. In fact, children have a much higher absorption of radio frequency radiation because their brains contain more fluid and their skulls are thinner than ours.
Now, I'm assuming manufacturers tested for radiation safety before they made their products widely available.
I would have assumed that, too. When I first started out writing this book, I owned 2 cell phones, and I thought it was impossible there could be anything wrong with them. But I was stunned to learn that cell phones have never been tested for safety.
Never at all?
Never. In fact, the fellow who was involved for working for the FDA on this issue for many years left the FDA within months after the FDA made the decision in the early 1980s not to test cell phones for safety and began a very successful career working for Motorola.
Somebody else, the former director of the World Health Organization, Gro Harlem Brundtland, was critical of cell phones and had a different kind of a career change.
Yes, she did. Dr. Brundtland, who was the director of the World Health Organization, was deeply concerned about what cell phones might mean for health. And when she left in 2002, she assured people that there would soon be a study released in 2005 that would resolve the issue. In fact, that study did not come out until 5 years later because there was such intense fights over how to spin the results of that study.
The UN wanted to spin the results?
I don't think the UN wanted to spin the results. I think the study by the World Health Organization was heavily funded by the cell phone industry.
My guest is Deborah Davis, who is a scientist, professor, speaker, recently testified before the United States Senate Committee panel about the dangers of cell phone use. Her book, Disconnect, The Truth About Cell Phone Radiation, What the Industry Has Done to Hide It and How to Protect Your Family, is published by Dutton. There were researchers from the start who pointed out that there might be dangers, weren't there?
Yes, indeed, there were. Alan Frey was a young researcher for the Office of Naval Research who was doing cutting-edge work showing that microwaves could affect the blood-brain barrier, showing that microwaves had biological effects with pulsed digital signals that now turn out to be exactly like those that are used by today's smartphones. When he started to produce this work, he was visited the next year by his superiors who said, very interesting work you're doing, but if you expect to continue to be funded, we're going to ask you to stop it. And being a young researcher who depended totally on his money from the government at the time, he did. Other researchers like Henry Lai and Vijay Singh produced studies showing that the pulse digital signal from a cell phone could damage the DNA inside the brain of rats. Now, that was preliminary work, stunning work at the time. And what industry did in that case was to first try to get the industry, the researchers fired, second, go to the journal that had agreed to accept the results and ask them to unaccept it. And finally, they issued a memo to from Motorola to Burson Marsteller saying, I think we've sufficiently, quote, war-gamed the science, end quote, that this problem should go away. That was their approach, that they thought that this was like a war and that they thought they would have appropriate games. I think in my book, Disconnect, I make clear that this is far too important a topic for games.
Well, you work in academia. Are you concerned at all that you might not be able to find employment somewhere down the line?
Well, as a matter of fact, I am no longer working in academia. I'm actually not working with Georgetown or Harvard right now, except to give occasional talks. I've left academia because I do believe this is the most important global public health issue of our time that remains unrecognized, and we can do something about it now if people understand there's simple things you can do to reduce your direct radiation to brain, like using a speakerphone and an earpiece. And I want to protect my grandchildren so that they will grow up in a safer world.
I remember reading news reports a few years ago that said there was no link between cell phones and cancer. In maybe the Science Times and places like that.
I'm sure you did, because in fact, the majority of studies on cell phone radiation and brain cancer find no link. But here's what you need to know. The majority of studies study people who've used cell phones for less than 7 years of time. And the last study to be released in the United States was published in 2002 and obviously studied people who used cell phones in the early 1990s. Think about how much our habits have changed. Just 10 years ago, fewer than half of us used cell phones in the United States today. Here's the story. Cell phone radiation does cause brain cancer in heavy users only after 10 years of heavy use. And that is a finding that the World Health Organization has confirmed in its recent study. The majority of their users were not heavy users. They defined a user as someone who made one call a week for 6 months.
That's like nobody I know.
Well, as a matter of fact, that's nobody I know either. The reality is that their heavy users in that study used a cell phone for a half an hour a day. And a half an hour a day for 10 years resulted in a 50% increase in brain cancer. And in those few users who used a cell phone more than that, there was a doubled or tripled risk of brain cancer. And their study is now replicated by other research in Sweden and Israel with similar findings.
Our culture is depending more and more on cell phones. I have a landline and a cell phone, and almost everybody asks me for my cell phone number. My landline only seems to get calls from politicians who are asking for my vote these days and from people who are trying to solicit me to buy some real estate.
Right. I understand. It's become a double-edged sword for many of us. But let's go back to all those negative studies. I think it's important for your listeners to understand something. After the Hiroshima bomb was dropped in Japan at the end of World War II, there was no increase in brain cancer evident in the survivors 10 years later. There was no increase in lung cancer in smokers 10 years after they start. There's no increase in asbestos-related cancers 10 years afterwards. But for cell phones, we're starting to see an increase in heavy users 10 years later. That's why I decided to write my book, Disconnect, to make sure people understand we can avoid a problem here by taking simple steps. I'm not going to tell people to stop using cell phones, but I think we have to be smarter in how we do.
And should we prevent children from using them?
That's what the government of France and Israel and Finland are advising in various forms, and that's what we advise as well at Environmental Health Trust, which is my website that has information on why it makes sense to protect children's brains. After all, children's brains are continuing to grow and develop. They're not fully mature, and we want to give them all the protection we can. We give them bike helmets. We ought to protect their brains as well from cell phone radiation.
Well, many parents are giving their kids cell phones because it's a way to maintain contact.
I think that's a good idea, and they should only be used for emergencies, and the kids should have headsets and know how to use them with a speakerphone. Emergencies, that's what cell phones are very good for. We know that. They've revolutionized medicine and our ability to respond to emergencies. But we've got to be smarter about how we use them, particularly those of us who use them for hours a day.
My guest is Deborah Davis, whose first book, When Smoke Ran Like Water, was a National Book Award finalist. Her latest is called Disconnect: The Truth About Cell Phone Radiation, What the Industry Has Done to Hide It, and How to Protect Your Family. It's published by Dutton. We will continue our conversation after we take a little break. Stay with us. We're back with Deborah Davis, whose latest book is Disconnect: The Truth About Cell Phone Radiation, What the Industry Has Done to Hide It, and How to Protect Your Family. And we've been getting a fair amount of comments on our show page. And one is from Gary from The Village. He says, I can't imagine that those little cell phones can be more dangerous than those big microwave towers that make cell phones possible in the first place. Are we all being radiated from the inside, whether we use cell phones or not?
You know, that's a very good question. And the answer is we want to keep distance. Distance is our friend. Distance from towers, particularly from the action part of towers. There are standards for towers that have been set outside of the United States that are much more stringent than ours. And I think that's one of the issues that also needs to be examined. My book focuses only on the phones themselves, but he's absolutely right that we have to look at the towers very clearly as well.
Others have asked about cordless phones. Do they present the same kinds of problems?
Most cordless phones for sale in the United States work like constantly small cell phone towers inside your house, and they're on all the time. It's not a good idea to have a phone like that that's close to your head or anywhere that you're sleeping. Again, distance is your friend, but the Israeli government issued a warning last week, which you can find on our website, environmentalhealthtrust.org, advising that people not use cordless phones because of concerns about their safety overall. And you need to know that if you don't have a cordless phone, then you're also protected by having a landline, because landlines don't go down when the electricity blacks out.
Now, you keep on mentioning Israel. Is there a reason? Has Israel been experiencing more problems in connection to cell phones and cordless phones than some of the other countries?
Well, Israel, as some people know, is one of the nations that has used cell phones the most and the longest. There was an old joke years ago that people had to wait 3 years to get a landline because there was such a backlog. So cell phones have certainly revolutionized the ability of that country and many developing countries to provide telephone service to people. And now, unfortunately, what some of the health experts in Israel, like Dr. Sigal Sadetsky of Tel Aviv University, are seeing is an increase in very rare tumors. There's a tumor of the cheek called the parotid gland tumor, salivary gland tumor, right where the phones are often held. The Israeli Dental Association has issued a warning because they've seen a tripling in the rate of malignant salivary gland tumors. Now, whether some of this tripling is due to better diagnosis and finding it, we don't know. But they're seeing this in young people. 1 out of 5 cases of this tumor is occurring in people under the age of 20. And the Israeli Dental Association has issued a warning about cell phone use for young people because of this stunning new development.
Now, I would assume that the manufacturers of cell phones would be aware of this and be doing things to protect themselves against lawsuits in the future. Are they? Do we know about any research that's being done?
I certainly don't know about research that they are doing. In fact, all of the research that was being done has been shut down recently. You know, if you don't want to know, you don't ask. But in terms of the warnings, as we discussed earlier, there are fine print warnings that you can find with all the new smartphones. The BlackBerry comes with advice that you should hold it 0.98 inches from the body, 2.54 centimeters. The iPhone 3 says you should hold it 5/8 of an inch from the body. The iPhone 4 says that you can exceed the FCC exposure guidelines if you have the phone on in your pocket.
So all of these things are being told to us. I guess that protects them against future lawsuits. But I can't imagine anybody walking around with a phone 2.5 inches from their ear.
It's 2.54 centimeters or 1 inch. That's okay.
Okay, still, 1 inch is still right. Everybody just presses it to the ear.
Right.
And if you hold it further away, you're just going to talk louder into it, and that's going to cause other kinds of problems in our society.
Well, yes, indeed. There are a number of problems here. But I've been told by people from industry who've called me recently that there are safer designs, there are safer antennas, there are safer ways to use headsets, and industry knows how to do these things now. It's just a question of encouraging them to make it happen faster.
Now, I know we already talked about the towers, but a lot of people keep on calling in about them. Is it just cell phone towers? Because over the years, in the past, there were concerns that people who lived under all of those electric wire towers were facing some kind of radiation danger.
The World Health Organization and the National Toxicology Program list electromagnetic fields as a cause of childhood leukemia and possibly brain cancer. Electromagnetic fields are different from the radiation from cell phones. That is the kind of electricity that we use to turn on our lights and refrigerators in our homes. There is evidence that workers who work near electromagnetic fields have an increased risk of a number of forms of cancer as well. Cell phone radiation is microwave-like radiation. It's closer to radar. In fact, it comes from the first microwave oven, which was called a radar range. Didn't sell too well when they called it radar ranges, using very similar signals, but much, much weaker power.
Now, one listener, Suzanne, left a comment on a show page saying, "This is total fear-mongering. Cell phones are used by millions of people worldwide, and many have been using them for over 10 years. If cell phone use is so dangerous, where is the corresponding increase in brain tumors and other physical problems worldwide?"
Well, this is not fear-mongering. This is giving people the right to know the basic information that scientists know, that the government of Israel and the government of France and the government of Finland and 12 countries in total have decided is sufficient scientific basis to warn people about this. Now, with respect
to Finland produces a lot of the cell phones, doesn't it, with Nokia?
Right. 25% of the GDP of Finland is based on cell phone technology. That is correct. So let me just explain. The absence of a brain cancer epidemic right now should not give us cause for great relief about the potential of cell phones to cause a problem. In fact, the person who wrote in is mistaken. There are not a lot of people who've been using cell phones heavily for 10 years. Where you have them in people who worked in real estate, people who worked in public relations, like the former head of public relations for one of the telecom communication agencies in New York, are dying of brain cancer more often. And we're starting to see evidence of it in humans. From my point of view, as someone who's worked for more than 30 years in public health, who worked on the dangers of smoking and worked on asbestos and worked on hormone replacement therapy, my position is this. We don't want to wait until we have definitive evidence of a human epidemic in the general population, particularly because most brain cancer occurs in people who are much older. And they're not cell phone users at all. People in their 60s, 70s, and 80s have only lately gotten cell phones because their grandchildren or their kids have decided that they have to have them.
We asked people on Facebook whether they've ever worried about their cell phones. Out of the 7 people who responded, only one said there was any concerns, which I suspect is a reflection of how most people feel about it.
Well, obviously they do. Most of us are so relieved when we finally get our phone to work and get it activated at the store, we throw away the packaging. But if you open up that box and peel inside and take the thing that's in there in 6-point type and read it, you will find these warnings. And I really think it's important for people to be better informed and understand why the cell phone companies are advising us that you cannot use a phone safely if you keep it directly on the body.
My guest is Deborah Davis. Her latest book, Disconnect, The Truth About Cell Phone Radiation, What the Industry Has Done to Hide It and How to Protect Your Family, is published by Dutton. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. A number of people have been writing in about laptops and the possible radiation that they may emit.
It's important to keep some distance between your body and the source of the wireless that you're being exposed to. Even though you don't put a laptop next to your brain, many young people put the laptop right over their lower abdomen. And if you read the warnings that come with laptops, with iPads, they all say the same thing. Do not hold it directly on the body. The reason I wrote the book, Disconnect, the reason Environmental Health Trust exists now is to warn people about these avoidable dangers of wireless technology.
There have been lawsuits, haven't there? David Reynard sued Motorola for his wife's brain tumor. What happened in that case?
That was a very early lawsuit in 1993 when we did not have very much data on it. Right now, there are a number of lawsuits pending, and I think they may fare very differently because the evidence has grown now. It's not just the World Health Organization study. It's studies that have been done in other countries, Finland and Israel, that are all showing an increase in brain cancers. But the other thing I want to say is this. I have looked at the experimental work that's been done with animals and with cell cultures, and that to me is the most worrisome because there we are seeing biological markers of damage induced by pulsed cell phone radiation in whole animals and in cell cultures. And those same types of markers of damage are signals of cancer with other compounds that we've studied. So that is why I'm concerned about cell phones in the long term. We know enough from the experimental evidence to see these things are increasing the risk of cancer and other things in animals. We should not wait for confirmation of this damage in humans because there are some simple things we can do right now.
People are asking now about radios. Radios don't present any damage, do they?
Not that I know of.
It's safe to listen to this show.
It's very safe. In fact, it's going to be good for your health to listen to this show.
But, okay, the question that we are getting most from listeners are about the earbuds that they keep the cell phone away from our head. So I'm assuming that that's a good idea.
Earbuds are a good idea.
Bluetooth?
Especially if you don't keep the phone on and on your body. Bluetooth substantially reduces radiation, but if you have your Bluetooth on all the time and your phone in your pocket or against your shoulder like so many young people do all day long, then you're really defeating the whole purpose of using a Bluetooth, because you're radiating your hip or your bone marrow or your gonads, where you're avoiding the radiation to the brain.
So the gonads are another issue there, because that's also vulnerable to radiation.
To the radiation from cell phones, yes. And in fact, there have been studies now in 7 different countries that I detail in my book Disconnect that find that young men who use cell phones for 4 hours a day have half the sperm count of others. And there are many different studies that show this, conducted by some of the world's leading researchers at the Cleveland Clinic, at the Australia National University, and at other major institutions around the world.
So people don't only use these things to make calls. They also play games. They do other things. But they're keeping them further away from their heads or their
right.
gonads. It's not as much of a problem then?
That's correct. Texting, et cetera. The problem is,
texting,
of course,
is not an issue.
Texting is generally is not an
issue. Except if you're driving
or if you have the phone right over your lower abdomen, which is why the new iPhone 4 says do not keep it over the lower abdomen. Particularly, the iPhone 4 warns for young adults.
Now, are there some that are safer than others? Have tests been done? Because you mentioned that there are different safety guides provided by manufacturers. I would assume that the one that says hold it furthest away is less safe than the one that says hold it a little. You can hold it a little closer.
You know, you would think so, but here's the kicker. Even if you get a phone that emits relatively low radiation right now, if you keep it on and on your body for hours a day, as many people do now, you're still getting substantial exposure. So while it's a good idea to have a lower exposure phone, that's not enough. We really need people to change the way they're using phones. And the other thing I know, because people from industry have told me it's possible, is that they can and are designing safer phones with different antenna, with a different configuration that will result in antennas that emit less radiation and need less power to get the signals. So that is going to happen. I just want it to happen faster.
Now, this book has just been published, but I'm assuming that you've been talking to people over the last week or so about it.
Yes, I have, and it's already number one on Amazon in science. It's already rated by Time magazine as a must-read, and the Globe and Mail of Toronto. So I'm very pleased that some in the media are getting into the issue, and I'm really delighted that you're interested in it.
Well, do you think that you're going to be able to convince kids not to use them?
We're working on it. We actually have a YouTube video with a Wyoming State ski champion, and she starts out skiing downhill in her championship run and then bikes, and then she says, look, I protect my brain when I'm skiing and biking. You got to do this when you're using a cell phone too. And it shows an image of the microwave exposure into the brain, and she says, let's be smart. You can text. You can use your phone. Don't hold it next to the brain.
I'm assuming that you do use a cell phone.
I certainly do. In fact, I used to own 3 of them. Now I have 2, and I use mostly 1. I certainly use a cell phone, but I would never hold it next to my brain unless it was a true emergency.
Mm-hmm. What do? Keep it in a handbag?
Is that a good idea? I keep it in a handbag. I keep it in a fanny pack. I take it out and put it on the desk, and I turn it off. It's amazing. People don't realize that you can actually live with your cell phone turned off.
The big problem for me is when I turn it off, I forget to turn it on, and then I find out that I missed a couple of calls. But maybe that's because I'm a little older.
Yes, and you're lucky, and so am I. Being older is a privilege nowadays, and I want to make sure more people get there.
You've been writing about environmental concerns for a while now. Are there others that we should be aware of?
Well, certainly. I'm also concerned about the inappropriate use of CT scans in children, and that's a concern that the American College of Radiology shares. And the American Academy of Pediatrics as well. So, yes, I'm concerned about those things and asbestos and radon. But right now, Environmental Health Trust, a group that I've started to get the message out, is focusing on this issue because we can do something about this, and it's not an unsolvable problem.
Deborah Davis's latest book is called Disconnect, The Truth About Cell Phone Radiation, What the Industry Has Done to Hide It, and How to Protect Your Family. It's published by Dutton. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.